Marco? Brambilla? He's not on yet.
All right, thank you. How you doing, Miss Brandy?
Oh, I'm doing okay, besides the plant that blew up that's not too far from here.
Oh, really?
You didn't hear about that yet?
Well, we had a big boom that went off. We thought it was thunder or something, but no, I haven't heard about it.
Well, last night, about 1 o'clock or so, one of the butyldiene places at PTG exploded. And so
some
of the area in Fort Natchez, and then they had another one that went off. And today at about 1 o'clock, they had the third one go off. They're evacuating a lot of the area, but so far it's not where I am. But butyldiene is nothing to play with.
Right. That's right.
It's some bad stuff.
Wow. I did not know
that.
Huh?
Is it
bad? They had another one explode at 1 o'clock today. So that's the third explosion they've had out there.
What does it look like at your house?
Oh, it looks okay at my house. And I'm not in the four-mile radius that they're saying evacuation, but they're doing Port Natchez and Nederland and Groves.
Okay, what about Judy's place?
No, it's not even going that way.
Okay, good. Okay. But we still have to be concerned about the others, so.
Oh, right,
Our prayers that way. Okay.
Yeah. And there's, so... We just have to wait to see what goes on. But they showed pictures of that unit, that area right there. Had those, I'm not laughing, but those three units, they were toast. I mean, toast. Everything around it, all the metal, was flattened to the ground. It was bad.
Were there any casualties? Were there any casualties?
They said three guys were hurt and nobody was killed, and that's a miracle.
That is absolutely incredible. Wow.
That is a miracle. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
And Clara's son was out there. I don't know if you know Clara, but Barbara does. Clara's son was out there last night when the first explosions went off. And he's okay, but he said it was bad.
Oh,
he said one
goodness.
Of the units went straight up in the air. So, you
That's
know, it
amazing.
Had to be 145 degrees or more for that to happen. And we made the national news.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Brandy, thank you for the report.
You're welcome. I used to work out in the plant, so I know a lot about that butyldiene, and it's nothing to mess with. It causes lung problems and can cause cancer. And if you get the liquid on it, it's like frostbite.
Right.
And it causes a lot of other problems, too, and the fire is still not out.
Wow.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. But let us
Thank
move
you.
Forward with the Zohar.
Okay.
We're in section 36A of the Parsha Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, and it's Pasuk 450 is where we will start after the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkim Tebif Hilu Erkimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Erkimu. Liakta l'shem yud hei bavav hei. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. Pasuk 450. Wasa ra'ich ba'boker yo'kelu v'la b'kulei. Yo ma baboker vila bezimna achara. Yo ma detanya vishata dechama. Zorachat viatyan visagdin leya lishimsha. Rogta tale vialma bishata. Demin charogza talyan talyayo bialmaman garim hay mishum demalkech nahar lahudikre nahar nahar. The translation. The verse says that your princes eat in the morning and not during the other hours of the day. The morning is mentioned and the other times of the day are not. We have learned that when the sun shines and the people of the world bow to the sun, wrath hangs over the world, as it also does at the hour of the afternoon prayer, because that is the time of judgment. Why is this true? Because your king is a lad, he who is called a lad, namely Memtet. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. In our generation, does anyone bow to the sun? Or is science the code word for sun? Questions, comments, thoughts.
What does it mean by the science is the cold word for sun?
You broke up. Say it again.
What does it mean that science, or is it science the cold word for sun?
Well, science is a religion in today's world, if you think about it.
Right.
And in historically, go back 2,000 years, 3,000 years, so 1,000 years, there were people who were bowing to the sun as their god, as that was their religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, do you know anybody in our generation who bows to the sun? And the answer is no. But that doesn't mean they're not bowing to the sun in other forms. Science being one, because it's a religion. And in other different aspects.
How about technology?
It's part of science, but it could be separated and be its own religion. You're absolutely correct. What the verse is saying is that in the morning, when it's the time of Chesed, if people are not connecting to Hashem and they're following other idols, then there's no difference between the morning, which is a time of judgment for them, and the afternoon, which is a time of judgment for all. That's what the verse is telling us. But the question I was asking was, since we live in a generation where people do not bow to the sun, they don't worship the sun. Now, they may worship the sun in the sense of astrology, yes. Western astrology. But that's the gist of the verse as I understand it.
Okay.
I also thought of people sunbathing during the summer and staying on the beaches and going on vacations. And I mean, every day we see these ads of these luxurious getaway places.
That's true. Primarily the youth, you don't have a lot of people running to the sun, sitting at the beach, except on the weekends because they're having to work. But the teenagers spend a lot of time at the beach. And in a sense, they worship the sun.
You light up my life. Look.
Hello?
I'm here. I just heard something as well as everybody else did. I don't know what that was. Didn't okay. recognize the voice.
I heard you light up my life from a male voice. That's what I heard.
That's what we all heard.
Oh, okay. Well, do the two attributes of mercy that we say, one for the morning and one for the afternoon, does that counteract some of this negativity? I mean, I know from noon to midnight, it's a period of judgment for all, like you said, but don't those two different attributes of mercy soften judgment?
Well, the day is broken into three parts. The rising of the essentially from midnight to mid to noon is the first 6 hours from midnight to 6 a.m. The mercy comes into the universe and it defeats judgment. But from 6 to 12, from 6 a.m. to noon, it's only mercy, and that's the light of the sun. But if you're not connecting to Hashem and you're connecting to an idol, there is no mercy for you. It's all judgment. Now, from noon to 6 p.m. is all judgment for everyone. But from 6 p.m. to midnight, it's harsh judgment as opposed to soft judgment. From noon to 6 p.m., I'm speaking of sundown just as, you know, typically.
Mm-hmm.
From noon to 6, it's soft judgment. Why is it soft judgment? Because the sun is still shining. Yes, there's a battle going on between judgment and mercy. But when the sun goes down, it's an indication that judgment has defeated mercy. So the evening hours from 6 p.m. to midnight is harsh judgment. But midnight, mercy comes back into the world and starts to defeat harsh judgment, starts to sweeten it. But it isn't really defeating it completely until the sun rises. And that's why we say 6 a.m. But that is the cycle of a day. It's essentially four parts of 6 hours, 6 hours each. But if you are connected to an idol, there's no mercy for you. And in one form or another, we all connect to idols. Anytime we're worried about something, we're concerned about something, we're connecting to an idol. Because we're saying that that physical thing is more important to us than Hashem. And that's why we need to strive to increase our certainty. So everything is clear as mud again, huh?
No, I think you did a wonderful job of the laying out the outline of the day, and we reviewed some things we already know, and I think you brought out a few things that we maybe didn't or had forgotten.
Or had forgotten. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on then to Pasuk 451. Weatun zakae kishot kadishe el yonim bene malka kadisha la yankin mehai sitra ela mehahu atar kadisha dilela alayuchu kativi atem padvekim Eloheichem Chaim Kulchem Hayom. The translation: and you truly pious and holy men of above, the sons of the Holy King, do not derive sustenance from that aspect of Memtet, but rather from that holy place on high, namely the Nukva of Zerantin, which is called the land of the living. Of you it is written, you that cleave to Hashem your Elohim are alive, every one of you, this day. My commentary: the Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Thus the children of Israel receive sustenance in a different manner than the other nations. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Go ahead.
Just answering the question to yes.
Go ahead. What question is it answering?
If Israel receives blessings in a different manner.
Yesterday we talked in terms of the way the spiritual system works is there are 70 nations. And each of the nations has a spiritual minister or a governor. And that spiritual minister is in charge. And Hashem is in charge of the land of Israel, the physical land of Israel. Anybody living in the physical land of Israel, he is receiving the beneficence from Hashem. The Shefa from Hashem, it flows directly into the land of Israel through Zion, which is a spiritual Jerusalem, and from that Zion to Jerusalem, the physical city. And from there, it gets spread out. But mechanically, it gets spread out because the 70 angelic ministers are receiving the Shefa from Hashem. But then they have the responsibility to share with their nation. Every person of their nation is going to receive from the angelic minister. When Israel is in exile, they do not receive from Hashem directly. They receive it from the angelic minister of the land that they are living in. So those who are living in England receive their Shefa from the minister of that particular nation. And those who live in the United States receive the Shefa from their angelic minister. So this verse is coming to say, if you are connected to the Holy King, if you're aware of this process of the government of the spiritual worlds, then you are able to get the Shefa directly from Hashem, and you do not have to receive it from Memtet. What Memtet shares is a lower level of frequency of energy, for lack of better terms to describe it. It's not the same energy, the same quality of energy, that is received from Hashem directly.
Well, I'm thinking of how many tools we have that we learn from Kabbalah, and I mean, every time you drink a glass of water throughout the day, you bring a blessing over foods, you know, you see the flowering tree or whatever, you know, so we stay connected throughout the day. If, I mean, to me, that's keeping your consciousness close to Hashem. And then
that
I think you just, I see that things just open up. I'll give you an example. Our grandson was coming for a piece of furniture, and we wanted him to get a U-Haul rather than use a vehicle and attach some kind of something or whatever. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't listen, and he was going to borrow his father-in-law's vehicle that has a hitch and a trailer. And see, they have the young baby, not yet a year old, and they were going to come, and we didn't feel good about it, but we didn't interfere and said, okay. Well, yesterday we got the call that his wife, the mother of the baby, and his wife, her brother's vehicle, he had trouble with it, so he has to borrow that vehicle that they were going to use to come pick up the piece of furniture. And so what he's going to do is next, not this weekend, but the next weekend when we go up for the baby's first birthday, he'll come back with us and in our car, and he will get a U-Haul from here and bring the furniture in that U-Haul. So to me, it was... okay, Hashem took care of
it. Correct. When you are connected to Hashem, meaning when are you have the consciousness of Hashem, you're receiving the Shefa, and it creates the positive miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the world, most even the Jewish world, does not do this. We say blessings, hopefully, every time we drink water, every time we consume something, every time we go to the bathroom, we're saying a blessing to make the consciousness of Hashem. But other people don't do that. Other Jewish people don't do that. And then there's the level of the quality of the blessing that you say. Are you're connecting to Hashem, but you know, it may be that your negative actions that day will override the power of your connection, chas v'shalom. God forbid. But this is the way we have to understand the world.
Well, I thought yesterday was an eye-opener for me when I gave you the example, or maybe it was the day before, of how I was reacting to this prednisone. And you called me the Satan. I never thought of it that way, you know. Well, that's really an eye-opener. Oh, boy, have I been careful. Another
I hope I didn't... Satana, I do not think of you as the Satan. I don't think of you as Satan. But when we realize that the closest people in our life can be asking us to do something that goes against the Torah without realizing it. They think it's I'll use the example of your son-in-law. You wanted it one way, he wanted it another way. Are you both right? Yes. So what is the issue? As you said, you didn't enter into the discussion, and then Hashem made the connection, and it happened the way you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
Was your son-in-law disappointed? Was your son-in-law hurt by it? Was he saved from a horrible accident, Baruch Hashem? We don't know. We don't know what would have been. And we can interpret it the way you have, which is appropriate. But it could also be something else. One of the statements that we have to realize, we want a certain outcome. In the case that Hannah brought up, she wanted the item to be moved by a U-Haul rather than by a truck and a trailer. Because to her point of view, the truck and the trailer is more dangerous than the U-Haul.
And a three-hour
drive. Right. I understand. But it doesn't really matter what decisions are made as long as you are utilizing binding by striking. But if you're not utilizing binding by striking, then it does matter what's going to happen. If both your son-in-law and you utilize binding by striking, there wouldn't be any accident, any horrible event, because you're both being proactive.
Well,
when you say a blessing,
backing off and not. That helped. That was, to me, the bonding by striking on our part.
Yes, I agree. I agree. You did use it. And he may or may not have been. We don't know his consciousness. But when you say a blessing, is the blessing binding by striking? And the answer is sometimes. Because you've stopped your reaction. A human being wants to gobble up the food. The human being has the desire to grab everything around them and bring it to him, to absorb everything. That's why one of the tests, neurological tests that doctors do when newborns are born, they open their hands to see if they bring their hands into their chest. If they do, it's a healthy baby. What does that mean? It means it has a desire to receive for oneself alone. So when we sit down to eat, we're polite. We're thinking, but the truth is we want to gobble up that food because we're hungry. But we stop our reaction and we say a blessing. It's proactive. Every one of the things that we are taught to do as a mitzvah is a tool to learn to use binding by striking. We're out of time, but I've given you a lot to think about.
Okay, well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and we're very thankful that you're our teacher and that you're giving us these opportunities more than once a day to connect. And I don't know about the hours that we do the studies. you know, during this period of judgment is also,
yes.
You know, saying, so thank you. It's, you know.
And we are very thankful that nobody in our community was hurt by the explosions in the area. And we all understand the seriousness of that and how many people are affected by it. And what is Hashem doing, you know? We're seeing the weather patterns change dramatically. We're seeing all of these different things, fires in the west and cold in the east and disruptions of family travel. What is the purpose? It's to wake us all up.
Right.
To become aware of making our connections to Hashem and giving up all of these other attitudes. But of course, there are people who disagree with us, and we have to remember they are also right. For them, they are right. It just means it's a longer path. It's a more chaotic path, and I hope it's not. I hope it's more reasonable for them. But our view of the world is very clear. Hashem has got lots of things happening. And we have to remember it, and we have to be careful. Because when Hashem gives Satan permission to be involved with all of this, what does he do? He gives permission, and permission is anybody in the generation. That's why we're cautioned to stay out of the marketplace when Satan is given the chaos. He's given permission to wreak chaos. But our time is up, so
okay.
If you have any questions, please join us at the 7 o'clock class. And tomorrow night, Thursday night, I will be teaching a 4:30 class, this class, the 6:30 for you and the 7:30 for me. I will be teaching it, but if you can't make it, I do understand, and we probably will not have it because there won't be two people who come. But if there are, there will be a class. But if you miss it, don't worry about it. There's always the recording. Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Brandy, shelter in place. Don't forget.
Okay, I'll keep in touch.
Bye-bye.
You need a place to go. Let us know.
Bye-bye.